Hello, welcome to Lifehouse Church Podcast. Today, you're going to be listening to an incredible message from our very own Pastor Sarah Hollingworth. If there's anything else you'd like to know about the life of the church, please head over to our website page, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk. Or you could follow us on our social media platforms at Lifehouse12. Sit back, enjoy this message, and we'll see you again soon.
Well, hello. I never know whether to say good morning or good afternoon in this service, but we just are thrilled that you are with us. Welcome online. It's so good to have so many of you here in the building, but also online. It's great to see some new people in church today. Welcome. If this is your first time in Lifehouse Church, we want to welcome you. So good to have you here. We're in for a great time in God's house. Welcome online if this is your first time joining us as well. We're so glad that you're with us. Why don't you take your seats for a moment? You know, over this next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the subject of why. And I loved our message last week from Pastor Paul. If you remember, or if you've not heard it, he spoke about how we need to replace the why from the why with an O to represent the who. Because actually, our why is fine, but actually we need to know who we serve. We need to know the who is important in our lives, not just the why. But I'm completely aware of the fact that why is a part of our life. We all ask why all the time. It's just a part of who we are. It is like, it's just what we do, isn't it? But I hope that by the end of today's message, you will start to understand why our why is really important. Now, if you've got children or have been around small children that can have a conversation with you, you will know that why is probably one of the first words that they learn. Am I right? Like, little children ask why all the time. Put your shoes on, why? Put your coat on, why? It's time for school, why? Eat your dinner, why? They constantly ask the question, why? And that is why I know that it is like, it's a part of who we are. We are so inquisitive as human beings. And you know, we only have to look to the Bible to find, right at the beginning of the Bible even, to find that we are naturally inquisitive. In Genesis 2, it says, you know, God created man and woman, and he put them in the garden. And he gives them clear instructions. He gives them really clear instructions. Genesis 2 verse 15 says this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will certainly die.'" Now God tells them why. It doesn't just give them instructions, but he actually tells them why they shouldn't do it. But what happens? We are so inquisitive. We want to know, like, is that actually going to happen? Like, I'm just going to test it out. And Eve was so easily deceived by the enemy because of her natural inquisitiveness. I don't even know if that's a word. I just made it up. Inquisitiveness. Anyway, Genesis 3 verse 6 says this, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. So also, she also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it too." I love the fact that what happens next is that God actually asks why. See, even God asks why, because he says this in verse 13. He says, "What is this that you have done?" He questions their decision. He questions their actions. He says, "What is this that you have done?" In other words, why? Why did you do this? You know, it's not wrong to ask why, but it's really important that we know who is at the center of our why. Now, in our house, this happens several times a week. I ask this question, and it's the worst question that I have to ask every day, and it's this: what do you want for dinner? anybody else with me on that. I hate asking that question, what do you want for dinner? Because it's just like takes forever and everybody wants something different and nobody knows what they want. And oh, it's an absolute pain. I hate it. I hate asking the question. But probably 3 times a week, the same answer comes back to me from my son, Caleb. And he likes to say this. I say, what do you want for tea? And he'll say, KFC. It's his favorite response. It's always his response, can we have KFC? And so, like any mother does, I say this to him. Can anybody guess what I say to him? I say, no. But can you guess what I say next? When he says, why? Anybody guess what I say next? Because I said so. As a parent, and as, you know, that is quite often an answer that we give, because I said so. But actually, it's no answer at all, because it does not give an answer. You know, there's no meat on that. It just says, because I said so. It doesn't actually answer the question, why? I think that quite often, our whys are rooted in the fact that we don't like the answer to a question. We don't like the response, like we're given a scenario, we're given an answer, we don't like it, and so we say, why? Why? That's not what I was expecting, so why? That's not the answer I want, so why? But actually, today I don't want us to look at the why not. I want us to actually look at the why we do what we do. You see, the why we do what we do is actually so important. It's fundamentally important to the way that we live our life. I feel like it's a great starting point for us, whatever we're doing. It's a great starting point for us to actually think about our why. Identifying your why can change the course of your day, your week, your month, or even your year. I almost burst into song then. Like if you're a Friends fan, you might appreciate that. I was kind of gonna, oh, I don't know if I can, I'm not very good at singing. Identifying your way could change it can change the course of your day, your week, your month, or even your year, but. Yeah, that's great. That's just gone out to the whole world on YouTube. Brilliant. Thanks for that, everybody. I'm glad you got me back. Now, I actually run a small business alongside being a pastor of this church, and I joined this business 3 years ago. I had some reasons for doing it, but one of the first things that my upline got me to do when I joined this business was to actually write down my why. My reasons for joining the business, my reasons for actually, you know, wanting to do what I was about to do. And the reason they got us to do this is because actually your why, if you can identify your why, it actually motivates you. It motivates you to get up in the morning. It motivates you to do the work, to put the work in. And actually, it's not something that I did right at the beginning of the process of starting this business, but it's something that I do on a monthly basis because it's so important that we know our why. It's so important. And lots of us, as we began to think about our why, you know, there were all kinds of reasons, and everybody's got a different why. We've not all got the same why. There's like a whole host of people doing different jobs and doing this alongside, and we've all got different reasons. You know, some were doing it for financial freedom, some are doing it for time freedom, some are doing it to help, you know, stay at home with their kids but be able to work. For me personally, it was to help people. That is always going to be my motivator, is to help people. You see, the reason we get to focus on our why is that it is our motivation. It's super important. And actually, it's a very personal thing. Our why needs to be a very personal thing, because actually, it's no good living off somebody else's why. Because in the difficult times, in the storms, somebody else's why is not going to carry you through. It's not going to motivate you to keep going, to push on. So your why is super important and super personal. And as I was thinking about the why, there was some people in the Bible that came to mind. some people that I was like, oh, wow, like, think about the people in the Bible and their why. The first one that came to mind was Noah. Now, Noah is an interesting story, and probably most of us, even if we're not familiar with church, will know the story of Noah. And the Bible tells us that Noah was a righteous man in God's eyes. You know, he'd lived a righteous life. And as the great flood was about to happen, God told Noah that he was going to save him because of his righteousness. But it all started here in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. I'm just going to read this to you. It says this: "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from the country, your people and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you.'" Now that's Genesis 12, right at the beginning of Genesis 12. But as we look further on, like, God then tells Noah to build an ark. Now, we're familiar with that story. We're familiar with the fact that what an ark is and what the purpose of it and what it will do. But Noah didn't have a clue what an ark was. He'd never seen one. He'd never heard of one. And he didn't know, like, what was going to happen. But this is the thing, you see, because God gave Noah a word. It was a God word. He told him that, you know, through him, nations would be born, that there would be greatness through him. And as Noah embarked on that impossible task of building a boat, of building an ark, all he knew was how to build it and what to use, because God told him. I don't read all that Noah asks why. He doesn't ask why, but he doesn't ask why because he has a word from God. The God word was the thing that carried him through. The God word was the thing that gave him the foundation to be able to carry out all that God had asked him to do. You see, church, we need a God word in our lives. We need a God word over our circumstances, over the things that we're facing, because it's the God word that will carry us through. It has to be our why. And then there's Job. My goodness, the story of Job. This man went through everything. Like, it was horrific what Job went through if you read it in the Bible. You know, he had like sores on him that he had to scrape with stones. And he lost his family. It was horrific what Job went through. And through it all, Job had a bit of a moan. He had a bit of a complain, just like us. Just like we do from time to time, even though we know who God is in our lives, we have a bit of a complaint, don't we? Because we're human. It's like it's built into us. And Job did that. He did that. But I love what it says in Job 42, verse 7. It says, "After the Lord had said these things to Job," see, Job had got some friends. Some friends. They weren't very helpful. They were a bit miserable, to be fair, and they didn't encourage him a whole lot. But this is what it says. It says that the Lord said to him, "I am angry with you," he's talking to the friends, "and your two friends, because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has." You see, through everything that Job went through, every difficulty, every circumstance, he simply trusted God. He simply trusted. And that's all we've got to do, church. We've got to simply put our trust, not in the why, but in the who. Because he is the one that will sustain us through the difficulties, through the hard times, and bring us out the other end. You know, the end of Job is fantastic. It says that God added to him way more than he had before. Because he simply trusted. It would have been so easy for Job just to walk away, to call God. But he didn't. He simply trusted. And then there's Saul. What an amazing story of a man. He was called Saul. Later, his name became Paul. And what a journey Saul went on. You know, at the beginning of the journey, it says this in Acts 9, verse 1 to 10. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. This was a man who despised what Jesus was doing. He despised everything that had gone on. And so he was looking to bring them down. And it says this: he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoner in Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand to Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. You see, Saul, later to become Paul, started off on a journey that was heading one way, but just a moment with Jesus completely changed the direction of his whole life. And actually, as Paul, as he would later become, was, you know, persecuted, as he was thrown in prison, he was beaten, spat upon, all those things that he endured for bringing the gospel to people. I was like, how did he do it? How did he get through? Why did he do it? Like, this man must be absolutely crazy. But it's because he had a moment with Jesus. On that road, he met Jesus in a way that was absolutely incredible. It totally changed his life. You see, just a moment with Jesus can change your direction. It can change the trajectory of your life. It's all he needed. It was the very thing. It was his why that got him through everything that he would face. What an amazing story and an amazing testimony of how God can step in and change our lives. You see, when we know our why, it carries us through, it empowers us, it motivates us, and it gives us purpose. So I guess today's message is a practical message. It's a message that's probably gonna mean you go away and actually take some steps. Maybe you need to go away and write down your why for some things in your life. You know, maybe things to consider are, why do I do this job? And some of the reasons might be really practical things, but actually they can still be the driver. They can still be the thing that motivates you. You know, you go to work because you need the money to look after your family. Maybe you go to work because it's something that you're skilled at. You see, I think that quite often we forget. Maybe it's, why did I marry this man or this woman? What, you know, why am I married to them? You know, it's not just about your vows. There are other reasons for it, because you love each other, because you want to build a home together, because you want to have fun together. Or maybe it's, why am I on this team at church? What is the purpose? Why am I just here? I turn up every day, every Sunday. But it's because you love people. Or you want to serve God, you want to serve the church. Or, you know, there's so many reasons, but they've got to be personal to you. It's no good working off my why. My why for being in church today is completely different to your why. It's got to be personal, because in the difficulties, it's the thing that's going to carry us forward. And all these things that you can consider today, the things that you do in your life, they're all going to be more difficult unless you can identify what your why is. Because it's the thing that puts passion behind our actions. I think the message that Pastor Paul preached just a few weeks ago, called The Reset, was a brilliant message. It actually challenged me. I thought it was timely for me personally, but also for us as a church. You know, talking about how we need to have a little bit of a reset in our lives. And I feel like this message kind of goes hand in hand with that message. Because we all need a reset from time to time. And actually, part of the reset might be that you want to examine what your whys are in your life. I think that lots of us have forgotten our why. I think we just go through the motion. We get up in the morning, we have our breakfast, we take the kids to school, or we go to work, and we come home, we ask, what do you want for tea? And it all gets a little bit monotonous from time to time. You know, we're just going through the motions. You know, why do I even get up in the morning? Listen, if you're waking up in the morning, it means that you've got breath in your lungs. It means that God has a purpose for you. It means that there is a reason for you to get up, because God has given you the day. And if that's the only reason why, you should still do it. Because that is just a great why. Psalm 139, verse 23 says this. It says, "Search my heart, O God." It's time for us to search our hearts, church. It's time for us to examine the things that we do. It's time to rediscover our why. Because when we're living out of a place of understanding, it drives us to do it the best that we can be. I want to encourage you today. If you don't know your why, it's time to get before God and ask Him to show you. It's time to spend time in God's presence. You know, we're so busy doing the mundane that we actually forget just to be still in the presence of God. To be still and listen and press into all that He's saying to us. To just give Him the time to speak to us. We need to know what our reason is for getting up in the morning. A reason for making an effort in our marriages, in our relationships. A reason to do a great job at work. A reason to eat well, maybe to even exercise. A reason to serve in church, or even to be in church. Know your why and see the change. See, once you establish why you are doing things, then it will bring a change. I absolutely promise you it will bring a change. Because we go from thinking about ourselves to actually placing ourselves in a position to be the best that we can be. And that's what God wants from us. He wants the best for our lives. See, those three people that I mentioned from the Bible, there's so many more I could have talked about, but there were three things. Noah had a God word. Job had pure trust in his God. And Paul had an essential encounter with Jesus. Church, it's time for a God word on your life. It's time for you to trust Him, and it's time for you to encounter Him. What an amazing thing that would be, to be living in with a God word in your life, where you can fully trust Him to bring you through every storm, every trial, to encounter Him in a way like never before. If you don't know your why, if you feel you don't have a why, God wants you to know His purpose. He has a purpose for you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." If the only why that you have is that, my goodness, that's amazing. That every day I get up and I do what I have to do. It may be mundane, but it's because God has a plan. Because God has a purpose in my life. Discover your why, change your world. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're just going to pray. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, that it's full of incredible examples of men and women of God that simply trusted you, that encountered you, and that you spoke to, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us this week. I pray that where we've been challenged today, I pray that you'd help us to put feet on that challenge by writing down the things that motivate us, the whys. God, we thank you that even though we ask the question why, we're so thankful that you are the who, that you are the one that gives us a reason to breathe, to go about our daily life. God, we live to glorify you, to give you praise. We thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you for engaging with us today. What an incredible message that was. Just remember, if you want to know anything else about who we are, where we are, what we do, head over to that website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or on our social media platforms at Lifehouse12. Thanks, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.